Please take your Bibles to Proverbs 19, verses 24 through chapter 20, verse 1. And before we look to this passage, let's look to God to guide us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that shows us where we need to go. Help us to be willing to listen to it. To keep us from our own stupidity, our own waywardness, to follow you and your grace and your love. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you would use this passage in our lives today. Help me to clearly explain it, that we would understand its truth for us, truth that needs to guide our reality. Lord, I pray that you would help us to submit to you and your word. Learn from it. May you receive the glory and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, What Happens to Fools Who Don't Listen to Their Mothers? What happens to fools who don't listen to their mothers? Now, I have a little video for you here at the beginning, and just a little disclaimer, I'm not endorsing everything in this video, how it all comes off, but the point is, this mother crams a lot of advice into a short amount of time. And the point is, listen or else.
Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash face, brush teeth, comb sleeping head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework? And your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you got basic cat express. It's for talent, it's the most important meal of all. Take pride and miss them, you will grow up one day to be big and tall. Please remember the orthodontist will be seeing you every two days. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play the shovel. Choose slowly, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ear? Put my doubly rough, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, please turn, never get, get along. So maybe come down there, clean your room, watch your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now, do we have all day? Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Can you hear a word I say?
Right. I hear some of you laughing probably because either you said it or your mom said it. Maybe it wouldn't always come out that way, or maybe, you know how it is. Moms, we realize all moms are not perfect, and none of us are perfect. But the point is, right, is we've heard our moms say things again and again and again, and we should listen to them, right? just as we should listen to God's Word. In this passage, Proverbs 19, 24 through 20, verse 1, it shows what happens if you don't listen, right? Happens to fools who don't listen to their mothers as a warning for us today. A week ago, we learned from our study of the book of Proverbs about the benefits of careful living by understanding the explanations of living by commands is preserving. Carelessness leads to death. So you should pity the poor, since really you're really lending to God, who will reward you. Chasten your child while there's hope, and don't seek their death. If you just let them go on their own way, it's as if you're threatening their lives. And abandon the angry to the consequences of wrath, or they will be repeat offenders. Right? Sometimes it's the more loving thing to do is actually to let them experience what they have sown. So this is the first explanation. Second explanation we saw was living by counsel is prudent or wise. Listening leads to wisdom in the end. So we should listen to the Lord. Don't follow our own self. We should love like the Lord, not lie, and fear the Lord, and so find life, satisfaction, and safety. Now Solomon shows the futures of different kinds of fools, and from his depictions we can learn what happens to fools who don't listen to their mothers by noting the three ends of these fools described in verses 24 through chapter 20, verse 1. You'll note verse 24 and chapter 20, verse 1 are simple statements, while verses 25 is a fuller depiction of the scoffer, as we'll see, fleshing that out for us. So what happens to these? What are these ends? The first end is the slothful do-nothings are starving, in verse 24. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Right? Solomon is describing here a lazy person. He's eating, and it's too much work to even bring the hand back to his mouth. Now, the typical way of eating was often a shared bowl. You would reach in, often with a piece of bread, much like Jesus did with his disciples on the night, you know, at the Passover feast, and they're dipping together into the slop or whatever it was, okay? The more liquidy thing with a piece of bread, and then would use that to eat from. So that's the picture here, is this someone who is so lazy that they put their hand in to eat and can't find the willpower to get it back to his mouth. Now that may be just a little bit of an exaggeration on the behalf of Solomon, right? I mean, it's kind of like the person who's eating chips and they can't get that Cheeto to their mouth. Is it really the Cheeto's fault? No. You know, it's not because it's so heavy. It's because they lack the willpower. They could be helping themselves, but they don't. And so basically, Solomon is saying they're starving themselves. They're not being starved. They are starving themselves by their own action, their own choices. And he has, as throughout the book of Proverbs, made this point about the lazy person. They're doing this to themselves. Chapter 26, verse 15 is a very similar statement. He's already said in verse 15 here, laziness casts one into deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Chapter 20, verse 4, if the lazy person doesn't plow in springtime, so he's not going to harvest, right? It's like the ant and the old Aesop's fables about the ant and the grasshopper, right? The one works hard and has it when the tough times come, and the other one plays goose offs all summer and then is starving in the winter, right? That's the picture here. Chapter 12, verse 27, it describes it as someone who goes out and hunts, brings it back, and won't even roast the meat that he took in hunting. Right? All you have to do is finish the job, right? Chapter 13, verse 4, is the lazy person desires and has nothing, as well as chapter 21, verse 25. So that's why I say this person is starving themselves. This is the consequence, the end of this person. It's a bit like growing up, I don't know about your mom, my mom said, if you don't get down here for breakfast, it's going to be cold. Or you're on your own for breakfast because you didn't get up, right? It was my choice that led to not having as good a meal or not having a meal at all. I had to go fish or fend for myself. Now, I didn't starve, as you can tell. So, I learned something, hopefully. Will you learn from your mom and Scripture what happens to those who are lazy? Scripture tells us if someone doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. Right? And that's 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Do you see how God often through your parents, has given you all that you need to develop a good work ethic so you can thrive in life? And I'm thankful now for the times that my parents made me work. I wasn't very inclined to work as a kid. I loved my books. I loved my comforts. And I always had to be forced to work at times. And now I'm thankful for that. I noticed this, even just the last couple of days, working on these garages. And these are godly people. Some people aren't, we're used to working as much. And especially as pastors, we get, you know, not so, our hands aren't used to this and the muscles, I'm feeling it today. But it's the work ethic that you acquired young in life that will carry you through. And I'm thankful for parents who did not. Do you see how desires are not enough to keep you from starving? There's so many people with great intentions, right? They have all these great plans, and I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to go make lots of money. And what happens? Nothing. They fizzle out. They're working dead-end jobs, if they're working at all. Are you working hard? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you see, the desires aren't keeping you sorry, but it's learning to use the means that God has given you. He's given you whatever He's given you. Even if He hasn't given you great health, you can still find things to do. I had an uncle that suffered from pesticide burns. He ran out in the field as a kid and burned inside. He always struggled with his health throughout life, a lot of pneumonia and things. And he still worked, did what he could. So it's the work ethic. And God's given you. He's given you His Word. He's given you His parents. He's given you those in your life that you can learn from. You can learn from your boss. Even an ungodly person, they will still have things to teach you if you will learn from them. And then, are you working hard, not just at your job, but in all areas of your life? Now, obviously, this should be in your what you get paid for, but what about the stuff that you have at home? I mean, so many of the laziness that's talking about, it's their home. The roof is leaking, you know, the walls are falling down. It's not their job that's the problem. It's the everyday stuff of life. That's work as well. And that reflects on our view of God as well. Taking care of our homes, our possessions, even our relationships. It takes work to keep relationships going well. I mean, lazy person says, I'm not going to leave my home because there might be a lion in the streets. I don't want to go be with people. That's exhausting. I mean, and I don't like most of them, you know? So, you know, why would I go be with them? Why do you go to be with others at church? To help each other grow to be like Christ. To love as God loved us. This takes work. It takes work to study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a worker who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word there for study is the word for labor. It is hard work. Let me tell you, after long days of studying God's Word, my brain aches at times. And those of you who are full-time school students, it's exhausting. What we need to be willing to commit to the work of understanding God's Word. There's much of God's Word that is so simple, right? Even a child can understand the basic gospel. But there is much in here. You will study it your whole life. And I looked up to some of my professors like Dr. Myron and who invested years, decades, lifetime of studying God's Word so they could teach it to others accurately. I'm thankful for men and women who have faithfully done that down through the centuries and passed on. The context there of 2 Timothy 2:2, things you have learned from me, commit them to faithful men that they be able to teach others also. And parents that were willing to do that, sacrificed to pass it on. And then doing good. It's hard. 2 Timothy 3:13 in the context there of being willing to work, but it also says don't grow weary in doing good. Loving people who are unlovely at times. Doing what God has called us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Helping them grow to be like Christ. Loving the lost. Loving the world as God loved. And seeking to persuade them with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's exhausting at times. We need to be willing to commit to this. Do you see how slothful do-nothings are starving? May not be physically, but definitely spiritually. What did Jesus say? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we need to be willing to move beyond the milk of God's Word into the meat. By this time, you ought to be teachers. As Hebrews 5 says, instead you need someone to teach you the basic principles again. Let's keep working and growing in this. First end, slothful do-nothings are starving. Second end, stubborn disdainers are struck. In verses 25 through 29, strike a scoffer and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge or error. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the back of fools. In these verses, Psalm is describing how if you strike a scorner or a scoffer, this is the hardened fool. The one that they don't learn, though, they may not learn from the beatings, but who does learn? The simple, the ones watching, the naive. They will become wary or clever, literally. They're learning by seeing. Chapter 21, verse 11 says, when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. So he learns from that. This is why the law spelled out how to, you should discipline your children. This is why you beat the one who needs it, right? That's one way to learn. But there's a better way, actually. It says, rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. This person doesn't require learning from somebody else going through things. They actually, you simply speak to them, tell them what the, hey, this is wrong. And they're like, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. I need to repent. I need to get right with God. So they learn not by seeing, but by listening. That's a much better way to learn. Because otherwise, you end up, having to learn by experience. And that's not a great way to learn. We talked about this Sunday school. It's the school of hard knocks, right? It's hard when you have to go through that way. And you don't have, no one can live long enough to learn everything you need to learn from the school of hard knocks. Because you'll probably be dead, first of all, because some of the lessons you only learn because you die, right? I thought about sharing about Darwin Awards today, those people that do themselves in. Because of their own stupidity. And you don't need to learn by experience. Learn by listening. This is the one that's been talked about back in chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. Who's the wise person, right? They will hear. Do not correct the scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. And then he goes on to talk about the fear of the Lord at the beginning. And that's where it needs to start. Other passages, chapter 17, verse 10, 15, 5, as well as Psalm 41, 41, 5. So they learn from listening, not just by seeing somebody else be punished. There is one who mistreats his father. Literally, the one who is violent to his father and chases away the injured. And the picture here, the background, seems to be kids who are evicting their parents so they can get the inheritance quicker. And that still sometimes happens, right? Mom and dad are shipped off to a nursing home so the kids can enjoy the stuff. They're not really caring about the parents. And this is condemned. That's not really honoring your parents. This is the one who causes shame and brings reproach, literally displays shame. And Solomon's had a lot to say about this kind of child. Chapter 17, verse 2, verse 25, 28, 7, and verse 24, 30, verse 11, 17, 20, verse 20, right? Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Example there. as well as 29:15. This is the rebellious son who is punished, brings shame on his parents. Leviticus 21:15, or I'm sorry, 20 verse 9, Exodus 21:15, and Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21. They're the rebellious child. They've brought shame to their parents because they won't learn. And he goes on to say, if you stop listening to instruction or discipline, you will stray from the words of knowledge. You stop listening to what you need to hear, you're going to end up in error. Now, that's true for a child, but it's true for us, all of us as we go through life. This is why we need to be sitting regularly under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 makes clear. You know, after talking about how we need to help each other grow to be like Christ and measure up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the perfect man, and that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And the cunning deceitfulness of deceitful plotting there. See, that's the danger when you don't sit regularly under the teaching of God's Word, is it's easy to get sucked into the error. I've talked with people who, they were proclaimed to be a Christian, but they married a Mormon because they couldn't see through the error. They were just trying to work it through on their own, and sounds right. They have a lot of good things to say, a lot of moralism. And they didn't have people to speak into their life. What does 2 Timothy 4 tell us? That naturally, people will heap up for themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. And they will simply want people to tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And this is why we need people who are faithfully proclaiming the Word of God. In season, out of season, convincing, rebuking, exhorting. Speaking truth, which is the Word of God, right? That we so desperately need to hear. That's the kind of preaching and teaching we need. Otherwise, we will stray. And that person is a disreputable witness. Literally, it's a person of Belial. If you recognize that, we went through 1 Samuel, that's a key word, often describing individuals in the book of Samuel. Worthless people, as it's often translated. If you know, recognize Belial, right? That's like Satan. That's often a term used for him. These are those that follow Satan. You don't want those to be around the people. They scoff or scorn or deride justice. They devour iniquity. They're full of it. They love it. Chapter 18, verse 8, talks about they like it so much that they're like tasty trifles to them to do evil. Job 15:16 and Job 34:7, it depicts it as drinking it like water. They're drinking wickedness like water. Last couple of days in the heat, you know, like you couldn't get enough water to drink. Like that's the picture, just guzzling it down. In chapter 20, verses 12 and 13, says this, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong reference here. These are ones who savor it. They keep it in their mouth. This is Job 20, verses 12 and 13. They hold the evil in their mouth and savor the taste of it. I like to do that with candy. Not so great for your cavities, but I mean, it tastes good, right? I mean, I'm of the persuasion hard candy should be sucked on. Anybody else like that? Okay, who's the ones who thinks it should be crushed? Right? Those are the two camps. But it's hard candy for a purpose, not so you break your teeth on it, you know? So you actually suck on it and enjoy it. They make gummies for chewing, right? Okay, I rest my case. Anyway, they're doing that with evil. They're savoring it, holding it in their mouth. These kind of people, judgments are prepared for scoffers or the scorners, and beatings or strikes or blows for the backs of fools. This is where the law laid out. You lay that person down and you beat them because they won't listen. This is the only way they're going to listen. Chapter 10, verse 13. It says, wisdom is found in the lips of him who has understanding, but the rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Similarly, 18:6, 26:3, 17:10 as well. Comes a point where all that's going to get through to them is the pain. That is a scorner, a scoffer. Growing up, my dad did construction, and many times, you know, something wasn't fitting right, and you want that board to go where you want it. My dad would say, don't force it, just get a little bigger persuader. That's when he'd bring out the big sledgehammer, right? And you beat it, just beat on it, and smash it into place. Now, that's all good and fine if it's a board, but that's not good if it's us, right? And unfortunately, too often I was the one had to have the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. You get my drift? You know, because I needed to be persuaded to go into the right place. Will you learn from your mom and Scripture what happens to those who are stubborn? Stubbornness is not a great trait. Unfortunately, Jim Walker, many of you remember him, he called my mom when I first came here and before I first came, and like, one of the questions he asked, I think, was, what is his negatives? And she said, well, he's stubborn at times. And that wasn't a compliment, okay? I mean, God can use that when we're stubborn to stay true to God's word, but too often our stubbornness is not, it's committed to our own way instead of God's. Are you learning from seeing others punished for stubborn stupidity? Even better, are you learning by listening to instruction? Are you teachable? Both as a kid and as an adult, that you would listen to others. With children, listen to your parents. When you do, you know what's promised? You'll live longer. Right? Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says, you obey your parents, and you'll live long in the land that God has promised. Right? I mean, this is on the earth. Even says, you know, Hebrews 13, 7, you listen to your pastor. There's blessing when you do that. You listen to the teachers. If you learn from wise people, 1 Peter 5:5, you know, says that we're to submit to one another. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. So not just the older, more wiser experience. Learn from each other. And be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If a brother and sister in Christ shares something with you, and I'm concerned for you in this, listen. You will be the wiser for it. You will be the better off. Don't resist that. Often you're ultimately resisting God. Seek to learn from one another. Or are you stubbornly thinking you know best and going your own way, even delighting in doing wrong? How scary is that? But often we are. Do you realize that will lead to beatings and punishments in this life and the next? And I've shared that, you know, I shared that last week, the paper on discipline. Ultimately, you don't listen to your parents, you end up talking to the cops, and if you don't listen to them, you'll end up in jail or dead. That's where this goes. This is where the fool goes. And ultimately, it'll lead you to hell. When you reject the truth that you so desperately need, you reject the only way of salvation. Will you start listening before it is too late to God and those who love you and would warn you? Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die and after that the judgment. That's a warning to us. Wake up before it's too late. Christ appeared once, it says, the next verse, for salvation. But when He comes again, it's going to be judgment. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. The wages of sin is death. That's where your sin is taking you. But God would give you the gift of eternal life. if you would repent and turn to Him. Heed the warnings of Proverbs 1 through 10. Listen to your parents. Listen to those who are teaching you truth. Will you repent and be forgiven or refuse and be judged? John 3:16 has hope and judgment. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. That's what's going to happen to us, because verse 36 says, if you don't believe, the wrath of God remains or abides on you. Don't wait. Repent, respond to His love, and trust in Jesus Christ, and He will rescue you. Don't be a scoffer and a scorner. Do you see how stubborn disdainers are struck? And then lastly, strong drinkers are stupid. Chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Putting it mildly, right? So he's describing wine and strong drink. Wine would be from grapes, which in that day would be 4 to 10% alcohol. Today it's more like 12 to 23%. You see, we've upped the ante on all this stuff, made it worse for you. It is a mocker, one who scoffs and scorns. This passage all tied together with that. The strong drink, it's the intoxicating drink. This would be from grain. In that day, 7 to 10% alcohol. Today, today it's 7 to 10%. And actually, you can actually get distilled spirits up to 40% alcohol. Okay? Powerful stuff. Now, in that day, the alcohol would have been diluted for drinking 3 to 1. So that makes it fairly, barely alcoholic. Right? This is why Peter, when preaching at Pentecost and they accused them of being drunk, he's like, how can we be drunk? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? You didn't normally drink like that. That was not a normal drink. This is what leads you astray. It leads you to be a brawler. Literally, it's the word there for noise. A murmur, where we kind of, someone who's under the influence of alcohol talks big, right? Or liquid courage, right? Leads you to start brawls and fights and things. Looks funny on video, but it's not in real life. Because it says that whoever is led astray by this is not wise. They err. They're stupid, literally. You want to know what this looks like? Chapter 23, verse 29 through 35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Who those who linger long at the wine, who go in search of mixed wine? So that made it even more powerful. Add hallucinogenics to it. Drugs and alcohol. Great combination. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Your inhibitions, it's all gone out the window, seeing things. Yes, we'd be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, one who lies at the top of the mast saying, they have struck me, I was not hurt, they have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Stupid, right? Like, why would you go down that road? And yet, so much of our society is headed that way. You see it throughout Scripture, Genesis 9:21, first mention of it, right? Leads Noah to nakedness. And that sordid account. One I read the other day, 1 Kings 20:16. The enemy, the king of Ben-Hadad or whatever, they're drinking when it's time for the war and they end up losing the battle. That's why later in chapter 31, verse 4, it says it's not for leaders, it's not for priests, Leviticus 10:9. Right? Those who have to make decisions, they don't mix. This is not good. Chapter 23, verse 20 through 21, it makes you poor. Much like you're always eating food that's going to make you poor. Hosea 4:11, it enslaves. Isaiah 5:11, it inflames. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 15, you're easily taken advantage of. And in the New Testament, you find it condemned. Drunkenness is condemned. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, literally reckless abandon, you're out of control, but instead be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I would see that on the opposite end of the spectrum. We want to be, should want to be controlled by the Spirit, and as soon as you take a drink, you're headed this way, not this way. Don't let it control you. Romans 13:13, Luke 21:34. Things that should not be true of us as Christians. And one who is headed, if this characterizes their life, 1 Corinthians 6:10 says it will keep you out of heaven. There's serious consequences. I'm thankful for parents who warned me about the stupidity of drinking. We saw it play out. People that were, we tried to minister to at different times. We had a lady in the church that her husband was an alcoholic. He ruined his life. They never had anything nice. He would always take and steal it and go pawn it off. I mean, he'd drink things that you wouldn't even think were drinkable because he was so desperate for alcohol. And godly lady, this man, last we heard, was homeless, ruined his life, ruined every relationship. Remember one night coming home, or coming in, to church here. Guy stuck in a snowbank. Why? Because he was drunk and he missed the turn and trying to help him get it out, he broke the, some linkage, something underneath, it just snapped. Finally just started smoking. Nice new truck. Makes you do stupid stuff. Will you learn from your mom in Scripture what happens to those who drink? Do you see how unwise it is to go down the road of drinking? It starts as a social drinker, leads to a habitual drinker, and ultimately an alcoholic. I have friends. That's how it started. And work, people come over after work, they sit around, and it seems so innocent. It seems like you're having fun until the bills come due. And your wife's about ready to leave you. Yesterday, one of the guys at Faith on maintenance shared 30-some years ago. Marriage was in shambles. He was an alcoholic. And God brought two guys to come visit, carrying their Bibles. They thought they were Mormons. Turns out they were from the Baptist church. And because his wife said, don't let him in, he let him in. And God used that. They ended up trusting Christ that day. Started going to church. Turned their life around. Life transformed through the power of the gospel. But he had parents that his dad would stock the beer with alcohol and say, just don't drink and drive. And all of the five boys, drugs, alcohol, some of them are early deaths because of it. Has a brother today that finally had to give up drinking because of the bleeding internally. It's nasty stuff. And I can't warn enough about this. And I don't have to learn this by experience. I've never taken a drink in my life. But it's one of those things you don't need to try to see how stupid it is. And I encourage you, we have some good resources. There's a couple of, one is to drink or not to drink, that we have there. And then this is an article I put out today. Why Christians need a better debate about alcohol. Too many times we're arguing for, you can drink a little bit. Yeah, but where does that take you? Is it really wise in the end? I mean, even if you could, theoretically, you know, there's alcohol in fruit, okay? We're consuming alcohol. Sometimes we're misunderstanding the whole debate. The problem is, what do we want to be controlled by? Spirits or by a substance? Do you realize the stupid situations alcohol will lead you in? You say stupid stuff, you hurt relationships, the job losses, you're being taken advantage of, the hurt, the fights, the financial loss, and ultimately, it will lead you to hell. Iowa is number two in the nation for excessive drinking, and that means excessive drinking is defined as someone who sits down and drinks more than four beers at a time. That's not a good distinction. This is our culture. And we need to actively know how to respond to this. Do you see how strong drinkers are stupid? We need to stop. We need to seek God's way and learn from it. You know, a lot of time, most of the time, I listen to my mom. But there were times, I remember once, I swore at my brothers. Used some bad words. And my mom First, she washed my mouth out with soap, and then she made me sit down and write out verses about anger. It made an impression on me. And to this day, I can credit my mom with the fact that she drove those words from me. I mean, I know the words, but those do not cross my lips by God's grace and because of my mom's influence. She taught me from a young age. And to know, be vividly impressed on, the anger is not from God. You know, as much as it's natural at times to know what God's way is. Do you see what happens to fools that don't listen to their mothers? Have you learned from the end of fools, how slothful do-nothings are starving, stubborn disdainers are struck, and strong drinkers are stupid? Will you listen to your mother or suffer the fate of fools? Father, we thank you for this passage. Help us to learn in light of it, to listen to our mothers, and ultimately to listen to you. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.